Ozploitation vampire thriller set in outback Australia might sound like a cross between Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Mad Max. But as director and writer Warwick Thornton explains, Firebite is so much more than that. Blending classic Australiana filmmaking with a Hollywood blockbuster energy, Firebite is an exciting and uniquely Aboriginal take on the vampire genre. Warwick spoke to Away's Jerome Commissari about hunting vampires in Cooper Pedy.
You know, I've been sort of bullshitting about it for about 2 years. Well, I want to make this vampire series set in Cooper Pedy with, you know, sort of metaphorical undertones about colonization and the sucking of blood and culture. And I kind of wandered around for a couple of years just talking to anybody. And then Brendan's my brother boy, and we sat down and had a beer, and I told him this idea, and he went, well, what are you doing about it? And I was like, oh, I don't know. He said, well, let's do it. And I was like, oh, okay. And then literally in a week we had some ideas written up, some outlines for episodes, some, you know, who the two characters were. And that was about 8 years ago. And it's taken a while, but here we are. Literally, it was the 18th of December last year, AMC greenlit it. That means, you know, they said, yes, we want to do this with you. And so it's been less than a year and we've pretty well finished it.
So, Warwick, you said just before, you know, you gave us a bit of a teaser, kind of. It's got the sucking of blood and culture. It's kind of a vampire thriller, Australiana, maybe Ozploitation, if you wouldn't mind me going down that road.
Yeah, totally. We love a bit of Ozploitation.
Where did you draw the inspiration for this story?
It actually came from anger. It came from when I first learned that there was 11 vials of smallpox on the first fleet. And it's kind of like, you know, the metaphor today would be like, you know, you got COVID and you go to a birthday party. Why would you do that? Anyway, anger for me is an energy, and it's sort of like I could make that story, you know, set in 1788, all those rowing boats coming aboard and that little chest with those little glass vials, and it'd be an incredibly depressing story, and there'd only be a certain amount of people who'd watch that. So why don't I turn 11 vials of smallpox into 11 vampires? And now we're opening up the world to Indigenous story, but through genre. And that's when it got exciting. You know, it's the lie that tells the truth. You know, it's sort of fantastical fiction.
I love that phrase, the lie that tells the truth, because, I mean, if I'm not too bold, I think there's a clear metaphor here, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know what I mean? You know, are they a virus, you know, like smallpox? I don't know, but it's there, you know what I mean? So you can, it's, you know, you do whatever you need to do with the show. You know what I mean? As long as you turn it up and it's really loud, I don't care. Yeah, just have fun.
Yeah, we'll get into some more nuts and bolts of the show in a minute. But so Warwick, you deliberately used a European creature as the monster. That makes sense. Was there any reason you didn't choose to adapt like a First Nations creature or anything like that? Or was it because it was meant to be an invader, a colonizing force?
Yeah, it's a feral animal. You know what I mean? It's a rabbit. It's a cane toad. In a strange way, just as much. You know, the irony of this show is that you could make 10 spin-offs of this where, you know, when the British went to India or they went to North America or they went to China, you know what I mean, where they take vampires, because they did take smallpox everywhere. So, you know, vampires, cane toads, I don't know, rats, foxes, you know, it's a feral animal in a strange way that is designed to do what it's designed to do. So, you know, it's kind of the choice of vampires, as well as, you know, I was kind of a bit bored with the pretty vampires. No one understands me, you know. I can't love because no one can live as long as me. You know, that's kind of strange stuff. I was bored with that, the sort of, you know, the pouting, rouged, very pretty vampire. These are ugly vampires who are in high vis, who drink at the pub and get into fights, kind of FIFO vampires.
Hey, Warwick, I want to get into like two elements that I saw come through when I was watching Firebite. The first one was Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Did that inspire you at all? Did you read into that at all?
Yeah, I love Buffy, but I was trying to get away from the school prom concept. But what was serious about Buffy and what's serious about Firebite is the female character, Buffy and Shanika, you know what I mean? These empowering young girls, you know what I mean? One of the most important things for me in the series was that young teenage girls recognize in Shanika, the character played by Shantae Barnes, that she doesn't know what she's doing. She, you know, she's a teenager, and but she's just strong and stoic. And whether you're fighting vampires or you're fighting some other form of monster, which all teenage girls are fighting, as far as I'm concerned, you can recognize the strength in this young girl, this young character, and use it in your own life to fight your own demons. You know what I mean? And that's important for me, and that's empowering.
So the second inspiration I wanted to ask you about, I reckon you'll have something to say on this one. Did you draw from Mad Max work?
Well, it's interesting because Cooper Petey looks like, well, they shot half of the third Mad Max there. You know what I mean? It just looks like a sort of dystopian wasteland, you know what I mean? Where yep. the world has gone to shit, you know, that kind of stuff. So there's natural connections, but we were really careful not to go down a Mad Max path. We still had to be based in reality. You know what I mean? Do we have enough money for milk, let alone, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, killing vampires and, you know, not getting enough sleep and having to go to school. That kind of keep it really reality based in Indigenous society, you know, existence in small country towns was really important to us. We had to keep everything grounded in a teenage girl growing up in a reality based small country town and the realities of that. But by the way, she has to fight vampires at night as well as go to school and give, you know, talks on projects about Australia Day or, you know, all sorts of strange things.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to ask you about that because, you know, our heroes, Tyson and Shanika, they are hunting vampires by day. However, you know, Tyson's dealing with being a single parent, child protection. Shanika's going to school. Like,
alcoholism. Yeah, totally.
You exactly.
know, he's a dickhead. He's a drunk. You know what I mean? But he thinks he's still deadly. He's kind of like, you know, the best footballer in town. You know what I mean? Who's a bit useless.
And so that was front and center of mind for you. This has to reflect our communities as well as be a fun watch.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, vampires is a really generic beast in a way, you know, with you know, going down our mythologies and, you know, our spiritual monsters. I didn't want to do that. You know what I mean? Because for me, there's 400 languages. That's 400 spirituality, cultures, dreamings, you know, and what's sacred to one Indigenous community maybe not sacred to another. So you know what I mean? You put your foot in that water, you know, it's a very dangerous place to go. So we kept very clear that we don't want to go down Indigenous mythologies in that way, you know what I mean? Because it's just too hard, you know, and it's because something that is sacred to me is not sacred to someone else, and something that's sacred to someone else is not sacred to me. I'm getting a lot of trouble playing that game. So it's like vampires, they're white, they're boring, you know what I mean? They're colonizers, they want to suck our blood, pretty simple, rock and roll.
The setting is incredible. So it's in a town called Opal City. There's mine shafts everywhere. Was the setting essential to the formulation of the story for you, Warwick, or did it come later?
Yeah, I've shot it, you know, we shot it in Cooper Petey, and I've shot a fair few films there before. And it's just perfect. You know what I mean? Vampires can play miners. So they in theory, they're down there mining all day when the sun's up. And then at night they go to the pub and, you know, drink and fight, you know, in a sort of a, you know, exploitation way. That's kind of, you'd see an Australian mining town. But the reality is that they're vampires. So they sleep all day down there pretending to be miners. And they come up to the pubs and feed at night. It just worked perfect. And the metaphor for mining, you know what I mean? Mining companies and how they suck the land, just like the blood. There's other undertones about that, about mining companies and how they destroy our culture. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. There's most certainly like a ton of depth to the program, but let's not stray away from what you were saying before, Warwick. It's just a fun watch, right? Like, so the cinematography is amazing. There's incredible aerial shots of desert landscape that looks like an anthill, you know, there's holes everywhere. How much of a role did you have to play in how this looks?
Well, I shot them all as well as directed four of them. So, you know, I kind of, you know, had the most amazing designers. We had concept artists, you know, especially for the Subaru and so how to turn a number seven into a, you know, how do we kill a vampire with a number seven boomerang and all that sort of stuff. So we were really clear on, you know, and that's what we were talking about before about the Mad Max, about how far we go down that path and how close do we go to there without just destroying our own unique world by just making it Mad Max, you know? It's sort of like, so we were very careful. So there was a lot of conversations, a lot of color palettes, a lot of concept designs of vampires and cars and costumes and that sort of stuff in pre-production. So, and, you know, totally, I'm a control freak, even though I try and, you know, my theory is don't take it seriously, you know what I mean? Just wreck it. We've got the money from the Americans, so let's try and get fired, you know, and try and have fun, you know. You know, there's a certain amount of chaos in getting fired by Americans. I find that hilarious. So, you know, and make something incredibly unique to us and our landscape and our form of storytelling. So, you know, yeah, total control over all of that.
Let's talk about the casting of the film. Tyson, you've got Rob Collins. Shanika, yeah. You've got Shante Barnes-Cowan. How did you select the actors?
It was quite a long process, you know what I mean? It was a lot of fear there because, you know, what we were after is unbelievably amazing actors who can play the characters. And sometimes there's a danger that you cast someone because they are that character. And we didn't want to do that. We wanted, you know, really amazing actors. And that's, you know, so we went on quite a big search for both those characters and we found them, which is so good.
Speaking of teaching the craft, learning the craft, Warwick, what do you reckon it would have meant for you as a young fella having a program like Firebyte accessible to you?
You know, it's an interesting, there's two sides to that coin. You know what I mean? There's an empowerment that sort of storytelling is out there. And you'd be, wow, I can do that as well. And then there's a jealous side of me who would have hated whoever made it because it's so good. Ironically, you know what I mean? Ironically, it's like, you know, I'm one of those kind of people that's sort of like, I hate that person because they're so bloody good at what they do, you know what I mean? Which is empowering, you know what I mean? It's sort of like, I just try and be as honest as possible about everything. And so, like, you know, when another black fella makes an amazing film, I'll tell him, buddy, hate you. I wish I made that show. You know? Which is kind of, it's empowering in a really weird, strange way. I went into this one saying, I'm just going to kick in the doors. I'm going to turn the amps up and I'm going to lend my brother's stolen guitar and play it as loud as possible. You know what I mean? It's kind of, I just tried to have as much fun as possible. I'm in a place now. I've made, you know, Samson Delilah, Sweet Country, The Beach, those kind of shows. You know, they're very stoic. They're important storytelling journeys in my life. They're things that I needed to say and they had to be serious. And then this one, it's like, no, I just want to have as much fun as possible, try and get fired and just rock on. You know what I mean? And it shows that I'm so proud of it. If I can say anything to anybody who's going to watch it, I'd say turn it up. It's a rock and roll, you know, it's a punk song. You know what I mean? You can dance to it or you can read the lyrics. Take whatever you want from it, you know what I mean? And just have as much fun as possible.
Filmmaker Warwick Thornton speaking with Away's Jerome Commissari. Warwick is one of the directors and writers of the new Aboriginal vampire thriller, Firebyte. It premieres on the 16th of December on AMC+, which you can find on Amazon Prime and Apple TV.